This is an
Ian
special report. Now reporting.
Peter, you look very handsome.
Ian ends at 6.
When the clock struck 6, it meant one thing.
I want to go chase the squall.
Peter has nothing interesting to say.
Now, from the ESPN New York News Desk, here's
Rosenbaum or whatever that guy's name is.
No wonder your show is number one.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to ENN. On this, a Monday evening, I am coming to you from Orlando, Florida, and Chris Carlin coming to you from beautiful New Jersey. I'd like to start off by saying good evening to Chris.
I am not building a shed.
I'd also like to say, if I can, good evening to Michael Kay. Good evening to Don LaGreca.
I can perform half naked.
And good evening to myself, if I will. Michael, you into Grandma Pie?
No. Wow.
You didn't get me, RJ, you didn't do a drop of me earlier talking about Greeny's poll? He doesn't care about what I do or what I say or who I am or how I live or what my dreams are.
That's strong.
My aspirations, my goals.
That was a goal?
There was
that
a goal.
That was an aspiration?
The Case Show, by the way, this portion of ENN is brought to you by Geico, the real value in car insurance. Not how much you save. It's also the kind of service you get. Good thing Geico's been perfecting both for over 75 years. Let's get into it, shall we?
Let's. This is my first ENN. I'm thrilled for this. I've had a Gundling ENN.
What do you mean? Something. Ever? We've never done ENN together?
I don't believe we have. I don't believe so. Yep.
Oh, because when you and I were together, Gundling was doing them.
Right.
Got it. Okay.
Correct.
Just me and you here.
Right.
So the NFL has cleared all the individuals who initially tested positive for COVID-19 over the weekend in what's being called an isolated contamination during test preparation at the BioReference Lab in New Jersey. So a total of 77 people from 11 teams were affected by the mistake, led to some anxious moments, altered some practices for different players, including Josh Allen of the Buffalo Bills. But all is good. Don't worry. Just a little bit of contamination. Here's Tim Hasselbeck on Get Up talking about the NFL's testing issues.
Well, how many tests were at this lab? Were there 100? Because if 77 positive tests, like, that's a pretty big deal. Were there 500? Like, it obviously changes the picture. I think there's a lot we don't know that the league hopefully is sharing with the union in terms of the actual facts of that. And so, look, I think we're at this point where the season is right around the corner. And if we're getting this type of kind of inaccuracies and then a quick hurry up to try to figure out if it's right or not, look, that's a bad thing for, honestly, the country and also the NFL.
I liked Orlovsky's positive take.
Yeah, it's the best thing that could have happened to them. That was basically Dan's thing, is that you get a dry run at what happens in the nightmare scenario.
But, and guess what? It turned out to not be the nightmare scenario. It turned out everyone's fine.
Yeah, it was almost like a drill, right? But I guess what I would say is, I'm still bothered by the contamination part of it. Like, how did it get contaminated? What
RJ,
happened? Like, obviously, they can't use that lab anymore, right? I mean, we're done with that lab.
Yeah, you would think so.
I would have to say goodbye to that lab. And I don't like the idea that there's this contamination possibility that, and I know you thought I was out there, but I don't think it's,
no. Go ahead, take us back into the Carlin conspiracy theory.
I never watched X-Files. I never bought into any of these kind of conspiracy theories. I'm from New Jersey.
Another good drop.
Is that outlandish?
Okay.
Being from New Jersey, is it that outlandish to suggest that somebody might slip the right guy $100,000 in a shoebox and says, you know what? That Brady test tube you got over there? Maybe you drop a little Rona in there. How about that?
You're telling me a Joey Clam shows up.
Yes.
And he's like, hey, let me talk to you for a second.
I see you got Tom Brady's vial over there. It's Brady's. How about you drop a little bit of pesto in that? Mess this thing up a little bit. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
And then he would reference some line from a gangster movie because he does it every time he calls. And right. Before you know it, Tom Brady's not playing because of this false contamination. That's what you're saying.
Yeah, I think that would happen. First, you would say, how am I funny to you? Will you call me funny? Well, how?
Like a clown?
Like a clown?
I'm here to amuse you?
Yeah. And then he would do that. I'm sorry. I don't think that's outlandish to think that something like that could happen. I'm not saying it will, but I think it's possible. I think it's possible. Just knowing, you know, that you could absolutely manipulate the situation and gamble in a lot of different places and make that work. Not that I have thought this through completely. Maybe I throw $100,000 over here. I throw $100,000 over there. That way the line doesn't move that much.
Let's go to something that's real life for a second, Chris. Lamar Jackson back to practice after missing the last 2 days with what John Harbaugh called, quote, a soft tissue injury. Apparently that was a groin. But Lamar, the MVP, back at it with the Ravens. Now, I was very swamped and I was all up in wrestling land this weekend. Can you take me through the Earl Thomas weekend, Chris Carlin?
So apparently, Earl Thomas got into a skirmish with one of his teammates and was screaming at him on the sideline, which actually led to him punching the teammate. He actually punched him. So then, I believe it was on Saturday. So the Ravens sent him home for the day. And they went into, Harbaugh had the discussion with the, of course, the legendary leadership council that all teams have now. And the leadership council said, you know what? We don't want him here anymore. You don't want Earl Thomas, who's one of the great safeties in the league. Now, I think we have seen through some of Earl Thomas's off-court shenanigans, chicanery, or off-field chicanery, that maybe he's not the straightest arrow in a lot of ways, but that was just bizarre, and now there's going to be some, some hand-wringing over $10 million that he supposedly owed this year. Like, they will have paid him $22 million roughly for a year of work, but if it's conduct detrimental, I think they can fight the $10 million that they would have owed him this year.
It was the first year of a four-year $55 million deal before he punched Chuck Clark over the weekend. Mike McCarthy, the coach in Dallas, was asked if he'd had any conversations about Earl Thomas.
We talk about we read the news too, so you may not think we read your guys' articles and stay on top of things. So, yeah, we look at every situation. It's player acquisition is 365 days a year.
Good stuff. Thanks, Mike. sometimes I hate football coaches so much. They're so holier than thou all the time. You might not think it. We read the newspaper, too.
Yeah.
I mean, I think you're capable of reading, but I think you want the information that's in the newspaper.
They don't say anything and they tell you you're stupid. Which, I mean, sometimes it's true. It's very true.
But sometimes they need to calm down. Does anyone ever go? Like, I wonder if any of these really big-time coaches who really take themselves seriously, if anyone's ever like, hey, like Bill Belichick. Does anyone in Bill Belichick's family be like, hey, dude, it's really impressive and everything. It's football. Calm down.
No.
It's football.
No. Absolutely not. Have you ever met a football coach's family? Like, the football coach is never home.
I know, and if that happened, then you'd be traded from the family immediately. Bill Belichick has traded the rights to his sister-in-law. She is heading off to Minneapolis after telling him to, quote, calm down, it's just football.
Yeah.
But, like, most of us live in a world where when we do entertainment, like, we know that we are radio hosts. We're the bottom of the totem pole. We're filth. We're garbage, you know?
Possum.
That. Thank you. So well said. And, you know, everything I do, it's like, hey, dude, calm down. It's music. Hey, dude, calm down. Really, it's wrestling. It's fake fighting. Mm-hmm. Relax. Whatever.
It's not that serious.
It's not that serious. And I go, you know what? You're right. What a great job. I get to goof off for a living. But football in particular is the one game and piece of entertainment, because real quick, just so in case you guys don't know, football is entertainment. That's all it is. And people who cover sports, it's no different than working for Extra or Entertainment Tonight. I know that's painful to hear. It's sports. We are all John Tesh and Mary Hart, okay? But in football, they treat it so serious. Coaches think they're legitimate. They're General Mattis. They're Mad Dog Mattis in their eyes. They think they're going to a real battle on Sunday. They think that if the Jets beat the Giants, they now get to take over the state of New Jersey.
Did you just say it was John Tesh?
Yep.
Wow.
Not to be confused with the great, and I mean great, John Tush.
Well, this was definitely what they were talking about with the off the rails thing.
No. They play that all the time. We play that all the time. Kay actually loves that.
I didn't even know I was taking it down that. I was just trying to think of myself as a John Tesh who had let himself go and is less talented. And it was taking it as a compliment to a degree.
Let's, if we can, and we will, let's hear from Luka Doncic on how he felt about his
smooth
winner.
I mean, I would say it's different, you know. It was NBA playoff, you know. You have Clippers in the other end, we're an amazing team, which is tough to beat them. And, you know, like I said before, when I hit a shot, you know, the whole team running towards me, that was one of the best feelings ever.
Seems fun, doesn't it?
Yeah, I mean, it was an amazing moment. And it is exciting to know. And I forget who I want to give credit to whoever wrote it this morning, but I was reading about it, and it made me think even more about it. The game is so well tended now as LeBron's career winds down. Mm-hmm. I find that really more comforting than anything. That you have a guy like Giannis, that you have a guy like Doncic at 21 years old doing what he is doing. The game is, you know, that transition, there's not going to be a gap in that transition period with superstars. Sometimes there is.
No, we're in good shape right now.
Yeah.
Like, this is actually what you're seeing in Lillard, Doncic, Giannis. There is a real next, once we get past the LeBron, Jim Harden, Russell Westbrook, Steph Curry, KD generation. And they still have, by the way, there's still several years left. I mean, let's be clear, Jim Harden's still in his prime.
Yeah.
You know, we don't know what Steph's going to be like this year. Say it again.
KD's still in his prime when he gets back.
Yeah, we don't. We could get five more great years from KD. More. Who knows? Yeah. But there
he
is.
Exists because he's been gone for so long.
I know. Really kind of wild.
Mm.
Doc Rivers, though, on the other side of the Doncic miracle, says we were emotionally weak, the Clippers.
I thought we were very emotionally weak tonight, to be honest. But at the end of the day, you know, we're up 20 and we're getting technical fouls. You know, things like that just give the team juice, you know. We just, throughout, and I've been saying this for three games now, we're so much better than what we're playing. And you can see the difference in the spirits. Like, they make a run and everybody's excited. You know, they make a run on us and we cave in. So that's on all of us. Me too. I got to get our guys right.
No. What you have to do, Doc,
go ahead.
What you have to do is make sure that Reggie Jackson doesn't end up on Doncic again. How do you have, even without Patrick Beverley, two of the best perimeter defenders in the game with Kawhi Leonard and with Paul George, and neither one of them is in the freaking zip code of Doncic at the end of the game? How is that possible? And it's a one-on-one with Reggie Jackson because you let them switch off. I mean, come on. Lock him down. Run two people at him. You can't let him beat you. If he finds the open man I'll deal with it. I can't let him beat me. And for Doc to sit there and point the finger about how mentally weak they are in big situations. Doc, you were the biggest defender of them all right there. And they had the moment right before that where you could take Reggie Jackson out of the game and he didn't do that. They attacked him all game. Boy, that.
Hey, Doc, you got to do better than Reggie Jackson.
Is that what you were looking for?
Yes, it's exactly what I was looking for. Oh, my God, Doc, take it elsewhere. Bag it. I mean, come on with that.
You're disgusted.
I was thoroughly disgusted, and I'm even more disgusted after I heard that quote.
Good for you.
I get a little worked up, but that to me, stop it. I mean, stop. You had a chance to make that not happen, or at least make it a lot tougher for him, and you made it easier for him. Easy. Easy.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Let's hear from, you want to hear from another one of your favorite people and someone you used to live right near and spent a lot of quality time with, Joel Embiid, talking about his future as a 76er.
Like I said, I don't make the decisions. I'm here in Philly. Whatever happens, happens. You know, I always say that I want to end my career here. And if it happens, good. If it doesn't happen, well, you move on and all that stuff. But I'm here, and I'm going to still try to do my best to bring the championship back to Philly.
See, he knew what he was doing right there. And, you know, I'm not saying he's trying to get out. I don't think he's actively trying to get out. But as much as I do think that he and Simmons will get another opportunity to try to make this work together, like they have to try to make this work together. I mean, Simmons, you cannot have a guy of that kind of athletic ability afraid to take shots, afraid to take a three-point shot. He's afraid to. He's afraid to. You can't have it.
And no, it's I've always felt that's just not going to be the solution permanently. It's not
but
enough.
I could actually see a scenario, maybe not right away, but where let's say you got into next year and things weren't going right for them, where they may trade Embiid, because Embiid can wear on you if that happens, and he would go somewhere. And if Jay Will threw it out there this morning, I had actually heard it once before, the idea of Embiid with the Knicks, I mean, would just be amazing for this city. It would energize the fan base, and fans would absolutely love him for a while. Eventually, it would implode. And
well, even that would be fun, though.
Exactly. You'd get 5 years' worth of entertainment that would be outstanding.
And by the way, a star, an all-star, a legitimate
absolutely.
All-star.
Absolutely, and a tremendous player.
Donovan Mitchell and Jamal Murray.
Wow.
Quite a duel yesterday. 129-127. The Jazz now up 3-1 on Denver. The first time in playoff history that two opposing players scored 50 each in a postseason game. We have entered, it's the age of Aquarius. How many 50s have there been in this playoff so far?
There have been
my guess is the record could already be set for a non-Wilt Chamberlain season for 50-point games in a playoff. Wouldn't you say that's possible?
I would say that's possible. I'd have to go through. I'm trying to think
of
how many.
There's two for Lillard.
Right.
Right? He had 61 and 50-something.
But was the 61 in the playoffs? Or was
yes.
That at the end
oh, no, you're right.
Season?
That was bubble. Sorry.
Yeah.
Damn it.
No, but I know what you're saying.
But you know what I'm saying.
We have no concept of anything anymore.
No one knows what time is.
No.
51 and 50, though. My goodness.
Wow. That was a great, great performance.
Mets are back at it tomorrow. Their last four games have been postponed. That's right. But the Metropolitans are back. All the subsequent tests, including those conducted yesterday, came back negative, so they have a doubleheader against the Marlins tomorrow. To make up for last weekend's postponed Subway Series, the Mets and Yanks will play doubleheaders in the Bronx on Friday and Sunday, and a single game at Citi Field on September 3rd, which had been an off day.
Now, I was intrigued by something that Brody Van Wagenen said today, that he did not expect to be terribly active in terms of trying to trade for somebody leading into the deadline next Monday. And that would surprise me a little bit, because he's got to be on his last legs here with a new owner coming in trying to show that he's got any value. He's traded away everything in terms of the farm system. I mean, is he going to go try to get a pitcher? Is he going to go, you know, potentially trade somebody away? I don't know if I trust him to do that.
And by the way, of all the times when the Mets have made moves approaching a trade deadline, when you're thinking, do they really need to bother doing that? Okay, they're going to still try to make a kick at the can, even though it seems like they're not very good.
Yeah, that's what it would feel like.
But this year it might be more appropriate than ever, because so many teams are going to get in.
Yeah.
So you can argue that they could reasonably make the playoffs still.
Do you think for a minute that he is going to – that anything they do is going to put them into being a legitimate contender?
Legitimate? No.
And by contender, I mean more than just getting in.
No, like they could actually go on a run? No, yeah. I don't see that.
I don't see that at all. But I could see him still doing it because he thinks that somehow would add value to him potentially keeping his job. I don't see that whatsoever.
Yeah, it would probably be the right thing to do to not do that. Now, speaking of the right thing to do, the Yankees have a new initiative. They've teamed up with Bill de Blasio, which is not something you hear many people say at all, for this week's Get Tested Tuesday initiative. We're the first 4,000 people to get tested tomorrow, August 25th, for COVID-19 at health and hospital sites at city public hospitals will receive Yankees gear.
Wow. Nice job.
So that's pretty cool.
I would not pick the Yankees and Bill de Blasio to team together on much.
Well, and by the way, Bill de Blasio did, of course, when talking about it, say, if you know me, you know I love baseball. And you're going to see baseball and testing come together here, because a team that sometimes I've had differences with because I grew up rooting for another team. He just never stops talking about the Red Sox.
Oh, God. Just stop.
I personally like Bill de Blasio. He's done our morning show a gazillion times. In regular life, I just like him personally. Stop bringing that up. Can you just move on? You know how many people already hate you? Do you have to bring up the Red Sox?
You know,
you're not making it better, Brozif.
At Citi Field one time, too, like one of his guys went out to the Seven Line Army and said, hey, he'd like to come and hang out. And they're like, fine. And said to Darren Meenan, who runs the Seven Line, can you come up and meet him? And he said, no. Let him come down here.
Wow.
That's a baller move.
We're going to say goodbye to Yes now.
Okay.
Yes, we will miss you. And we will look forward to seeing you tomorrow. So if you want to hear the last story that we're going to do on ENN, which is going to be about Kobe Bryant and Mamba Day, you got to go find a radio and turn on 98.7 ESPN or listen on your smart speaker to the ESPN app. But thank you, Yes. We'll catch you tomorrow. And yes, today is Mamba Day, 8/24, and some cool tributes going on all over the place. Let's first hear the ESPN Snoop Dogg tribute to Kobe Bryant.
A 6'6 guard from Lower Merion High School, Kobe Bryant.
The stage is set, it's go time. Peep the scene, we in the mix. It's 96 and rising from the Philly streets, a team trying to find his direction and make that connection. Not knowing what to expect then, taking it step by step then. You weather through the rain, in your heart, in your brain, trying to learn the terrain. Ice water in your veins, your aim, carve a new lane. Covering the canvas with your paint, in a picture to end up a fixture. Too large for any frame, you beat the odds by a mile. All grit, no smile. A new golden child.
You're absolutely kidding me.
Yeah, let's do it, Mamba style.
Of course, there's more to it than that, and a video that goes with it that, of course, gives it more impact. And similarly, there was a Dodgers tribute to Kobe, voiced by the one and only Vin Scully.
Oh, he may have been born in the city of brotherly love, but he would grow to love the city of angels. And from the moment that he made his purple and gold Lakers debut in 1996, the city of angels has loved him back.
How good is this kid?
In the nearly 24 years since we met him, Kobe demonstrated that he was a man of many talents. He was a champion, a mentor, a creative force, an advocate. Kobe was also a husband and a father to four wonderful girls.
Nice work there from Vin Scully and the Dodgers. You can watch the whole thing online. It's like a several-minute tribute that they did to commemorate 824. Kobe's birthday yesterday, today, Mamba Day in Los Angeles. That'll do it for ENN on this Monday evening. I told you we were chock full of things.
You know,
also want to remind you that no matter where you are,
you promise and you never under-deliver.
See?
Never.
Thank you, Chris. I'm glad you appreciate me. Nice that someone here does.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast. Hear more of Michael, Don, and Peter live weekday afternoon starting at 2:55 on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.
Hey, Alexa, play 98.7 ESPN.